We are facing, it looks like, an interesting event coming this week called an election. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you to vote and vote for what seems in your heart the Spirit would have you look at, and that is the state of our country. And I pray that you would pick a candidate that, not as much based on party, but for the sake of the Christian values left in our country, and with the Supreme Court and what all needs to happen there, it's a scary day and age. But I want to thank God that He is in control. And I just want to encourage you as a church to really pray and show up at the election. That's all I will say about that. But I just wanted to encourage you to do so. There was a teacher who was in her classroom with her students in Sunday school, and the kids got rather loud and out of control, and the teacher said, "Hey, listen, we got to learn to be quiet." She said, "Don't y'all realize how quiet the adults are in the church?" She goes, "Why do you think they're quiet in the church?" And a little boy raised his hand and said, "Because everybody sleeps." You know, we've been silenced in the church. We've been silenced in the church because of legalism. We've been silenced by law itself. We've been silenced by law preaching because it puts us in a position to where the expectation is way too high. What man expects man to present himself as is nearly impossible within his own willpower. Yet the church has been notorious for placing us in positions of the better and the harder, and the more fervent you are in perfecting yourself and your behavior, the better you come off looking. I'm glad at Grace River we don't believe that anymore. I'm glad that at Grace River we have an understanding of who we are in Christ. And today I want to take you on a journey and look at some possible scriptures that you've heard in your life and thought you understood them, but you understood them from a legalistic view, not from a love view. All right. And I want to show you today simply how to walk after the Spirit. How to walk after the Spirit. I want to go in your minds for a moment. I want to walk with you, and I want you to think about this thought. When you were brought up, we were taught in church that you would be rewarded for your diligence in proclaiming Christ to a lost and dying world. You were taught that you would be rewarded for going out and proclaiming the gospel. In fact, you wanted the reward so bad, we got more focused on the reward than the relationship. We were so focused on the reward because we felt like if we didn't get up in the mornings and have a devotional and at least witness to 10 people every day, then we ain't going to get no reward. So our reward was causing us to work crazy, being diligent, and when we had no results, we felt defeated. Therefore, we felt like we would not get a reward. The Apostle Paul addresses the reward in Romans chapter 9, if you would go there with me. Paul is talking about something very profound in this passage. Paul is talking in Romans chapter 9 in verse 3. I want to show you what his passion was and what he saw as a reward. Are you ready? He says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, because my kinsmen according to the flesh." What Paul's saying is, I would rather be thrown in hell with the devil if that's what it takes that my friends would know Christ. Is everybody listening? The Apostle Paul saw souls more valuable than anything, because the Apostle Paul knew that God desired for his love to be seen and proclaimed. We think that if I go out and I witness, God will be pleased so I get a reward. Paul thought, I'm going out to witness so everybody will see how much God loves them. Period. And I want them to experience the love that if the only way that they can experience is that I die a death of damnation, I'll do it. Now that's pretty profound, isn't it? How could Paul have the mindset that I'm willing to even go to the pit of hell so my friends will come to know the love of God? Well, we got to pause and think about that for a moment. You see, we all are scared of hell. We would never wish to go to hell so our friends could get saved. In fact, we hope we go to hell, I mean to heaven, and we hope they don't go to hell, but we know that the number one thing on our mind is our salvation. We're all thinking about us. I just hope I'm saved and I hope I don't go to hell. The Apostle Paul's passion was to proclaim the love of God. Now, I want you to see something in this. Pastors today have a hard time with grace because if they get a hold of the extreme radical hyper grace message, they will have to admit that they were wrong in their teaching for many years. Most pastors won't do that. Most pastors are too proud and they don't want to do it, so they'll hold on to their pride and continue in the realm of law, being beat up and trying to win folks so that they can get a reward and God will be pleased. And I ain't just talking about pastors. Do you know there's people sitting here today? Y'all know who you are. And you've had that mindset. You've beat yourself up because you didn't witness yesterday. And you're thinking you may not get a reward. Today I want to bring forth this message in the viewpoint of what God sees in you when you walk after the Spirit. You see, the Apostle Paul was one who knew how to walk after the Spirit. The Apostle Paul was not walking after the flesh. The Apostle Paul understood that when God said he was forgiven, he understood that the word forgiven really didn't mean just to erase it like a hard drive. It didn't mean that God just erased your sins and he just forgot your sin. God actually divorced you from the law of sin and death. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, that therefore now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? All right. Then he says this, he says, for we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has what? Freed us from the law of sin and death. Sin and death was done away with. Sin and death is no longer a part of a new covenant believer. So that's why he says there's no condemnation. Because condemnation comes when you think that there's going to be a bad penalty for something you've done. Right? That's a law that we were living under until Christ came to redeem us from it. For example, forgiveness. If it means to be divorced from, what did God divorce me from? God divorced me from being bound by the law of sin and death. He divorced me from that whole realm of my flesh producing sin, and I'm so focused on that I can't ever get any victory. In fact, I'm so focused on what I've done wrong that I will keep my mouth quiet and I won't witness. It silences me. Paul was not silent about the gospel, even though Paul had a lot of sin that he wasn't proud of. The difference is, Paul did not any longer look at the fruit of the flesh. He started to see the fruit of the Spirit in his life, and he got excited. Amen. I've told you that you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. When you got saved, your old man was buried and dead and done away with. Jesus erased him. He deleted him. He bleached him. Everybody hear me today? Jesus took care of sin once and for all. So if he took care of sin once and for all, when John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who forgives the sin of the world, who divorces people from the sin of the world." Amen. Are you seeing this? We have been divorced from. It's no longer a part of you. It's not your name anymore because you now have a new identity. When you divorce, most people change their name back to their maiden name. I'm no longer bound by the name and identity that I used to be tied to. God has divorced me from sinner. That's why that old song that we hear all the time, Sinner Saved by Grace. Why are you bragging on what you used to be? I'm a new identity. I'm a new creation. Right? I'm a saint saved by grace. I want you all to see this now. And the reason it's important is I'm fixing to reveal something new to you from a passage you've heard your whole life. And it will give you revelation. You're going to leave here grinning today, okay? You will be glad that you are in the new covenant believing mindset. So our new identity, Paul had a hold of that. He knew that grace, it had educated him of who he was in Christ. He knew that grace influenced him in who he was in Christ. And grace gave him a new way to look at himself through the eyes of God. You see, when I got saved, I always saw God as watching me to see if I'm going to behave right. And I used to pray and ask Jesus to help me behave right. I'd ask Jesus to hold my hand. I'd sing that song, Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. That song is wrong. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. He ain't holding my hand. We're one. I'm dead. He's alive in me. That's why marriage is one. The husband's in the wife and the wife's in the husband in God's eyes. So in God's eyes, when you have a new identity, it means that you've got to take hold of what God says about you, not what you say about you. Because we many times let the flesh determine our identity. Everybody with me? It's time that we start believing that we are a spirit. Let me say that again. It's time that we start believing that we are a spirit, not a man or a woman in human flesh. I want to take you to a passage of Scripture that will clarify this better than I ever could. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read a verse to you, and we're going to break this thing down, and I'm going to show you real quick what God had in mind versus what you had in mind. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, if you'll go there. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Y'all see that? The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. What does the word quickening mean there? Some of your versions might have it. I think it's the New Amplified, or maybe the American Standard. It says that it is a life-giving spirit. Burm, burm, that ought to make your truck horn go off right there. The first Adam was just living soul. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, he is our life-giving spirit. What does that mean? The moment you got saved, he put the spirit of life in Christ Jesus in you. You became a spirit of God. We always see the Holy Spirit and Jesus is separate from us and, yeah, he's dwelling in me. No, you are a spirit. We got to get the mindset. What does that mean, Brother Barry? What do you mean I'm a spirit? It means this. It means that I believe so much that what God says about me, that I can see myself is what God says about me. Because God is seeing me as a spirit, not as a man hiding in Jesus. Does that not change your perspective of who you are? If not, it will in a moment. We grew up being taught about the fruit of the Spirit. that the fruit of the Spirit is something that you need to work on in your life. We saw it as a list of things we need to do. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness. As we saw those, we would be like, okay, was I kind today? Oh, good, I was kind. Okay, ooh, wait a minute, I wasn't so patient with somebody. So we would judge ourselves, use the fruit of the Spirit like it was the law, the Ten Commandments. And we were raised in that hey, I'm not seeing no fruit in you, boy. You know how we always say we can judge people by their fruit? And so we've always put the emphasis on that. But y'all, listen, fruit is nothing but the outcome or the manifestation of a root. The fruit is the evidence of something within. If a tree has no sap in it, there will be no fruit. And you will call that tree a useless tree or a dead tree. For years in religion, we were nothing but dead. We had no fruit coming forth of the Spirit. We had flesh coming forth. It was fruit of the flesh. The reason we had fruit of the flesh coming forth is because our roots were not grounded in the Spirit and who we were in Christ. It was grounded in all my ability and what I sacrificed and what I did. The fruit of the Spirit are not a list of things that I am to become or to do. So if that's the case, what are the fruit of the Spirit for? Good question, isn't it? Because by golly, for years I tried to make them things come forth. You know how they say you can't squeeze something out of a turnip? The blood out of a turnip, you know, it's like we all try to squeeze something out that we want to become, and it never works. You know why it doesn't? Because the seed of that is not in you. Isn't it amazing how sin comes way more easy for us than righteousness? You know why? Because we still entertain that seed of sin. But if we entertain the seed of righteousness, who is Christ Jesus in you and me, guess what comes forth? Righteousness. It's natural if you claim your identity. Identity is you are recognizing the seed of your source. So how do we walk after the Spirit? I want to go to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Galatians chapter 5. Go to verse 16, if you would. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know why we fulfill the lust of the flesh? And we do. Do you know why? Because we're not walking in the Spirit. I didn't make that up. The scripture just told you that. Paul said if you walk after the Spirit, you ain't going to entertain them thoughts. If you're entertaining those thoughts, you ain't walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. So what does that mean, Brother Barry? You mean I gotta focus more on the Spirit than my flesh? Kinda. But let's break it down even more so. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that you can not do the things that you would. Now, who's that sound like? That's Paul writing this, and that's Paul how he said, I do the things I don't want to do, but the things I do want to do, I can't do. He was talking about dealing with his flesh. The fruit of the flesh. How many of y'all know what the fruit of the flesh are? Anybody know what the fruit of the flesh are? If you don't know, we're fixing to read them, okay? Verse 19 goes into the works of the fruit of the flesh, all right? But let's keep verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Did y'all see that? Remember now, it's law that produces sin. Law represents or strengthens sin. The Bible says that without the law, there is no sin. Romans 5, without the law, there is no sin. So let me ask you a question. Is walking after the flesh law? What does the law make you do? Try harder. You're walking after the flesh. The Apostle Paul was addressing converts. He was addressing people who kept going back into Judaism, back into the old ways. I'm talking to Christians here today. I'm talking to people who've been in church their whole life who are still walking after the flesh. Why are we walking after the flesh? Because we haven't learned yet what it means to walk after the Spirit. So today we're going to learn. Let's continue to read. And so here's the works of flesh. You can read through them. Some of y'all will want to bypass those because every time you read it, you're like, ouch, ooh, that's me. It's like going through a big thorn bush, okay? But check out verse. Let's go on down to verse 22. You ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, if there's no law, there's no sin. So these fruit will never be sin. Y'all see that? These fruit represent something different than the law. Remember now, a fruit is a byproduct of the root and the seed. When you got saved and God put the seed of Christ in you, the hope of glory, you became a spirit. He gave you a brand new spirit. Everybody with me? The spirit that he gave you was the spirit that believes everything that God says. The spirit that he put in you believes everything that God says. Y'all listen now. The spirit that God put in you believes everything that God says. The spirit in you does not believe what man says. The spirit that you are now believes only what God says. That's why when you have a tough decision, you ask the Lord. You get God's wisdom. You know why? Because your spirit is wooed to hear what the Father has to say, not what you have to say. When I learned about faith, faith was persuading me to believe that I have been adopted, and God adopted me, and he has called me his own child. Therefore, his spirit is in me. I took on his name. When I adopted Jake, he no longer has the last name of Pinnell. He has the last name of Simsrop. I was adopted by God, and God called me a new spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Y'all realize when Christ went to the cross, he went there for one purpose, and that was to give you life instead of death. Amen. Remember, he is the life-giving spirit. He gave us life, which is your spirit. Which is you. Well, what does that mean? I'm unveiling this thing slow for y'all, okay? It's like peeling an onion. Hang with me. We're going somewhere. I want you to get a hold of this. So if the seed is Christ and God says, now I have a new identity, the old has been passed away, therefore there's a new man in me. The new man is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's who I am now. I'm the spirit of life. What does that mean? A spirit who believes in what God says, not what man says. So if I'm believing what God says about me instead of what I say about me, there's some hope. Because what I say about me is not good. I fail every day. I hurt people and don't mean to, but I do. I offend people. How many of y'all have ever offended someone? Unintentionally. You just found out you upset somebody. How many of you folks have victory over all the areas in your life? Isn't that amazing? Years ago, every hand would have gone because we didn't want to look like a fool who didn't raise it. But New Covenant believers are honest. I thank God that you're honest today. See, we ain't looking at this no more. We're now looking through the lens of our new identity in Christ. Jesus came to be the life-giving spirit for Barry. So Jesus is where now? Seated at the right hand of the Father and in you and me. What is he doing sitting at the right hand of the Father? Have you all ever thought about that? It says he's interceding. You know what he's doing? He's reflecting who you and I are based on what God sees. What is he reflecting? Y'all ready? If you claim that you are a new covenant believer, you are a spirit. If I'm claiming that I'm a spirit, spirit has fruit, don't it? What is God saying about Barry? Love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering. Y'all see this? Those are the attributes of who we are through the eyes of God in a new spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's not something we have to perform or do. It's something that God sees because we now have tapped into. I love it. We've been grafted into the kingdom of God. Amen. When you think of the fruit of the Spirit, that's the fruit of who we are now because we understand who we are in Christ. Man, y'all look mad. That got me excited. In studying that, I thought, man, now that makes more sense than anything. God is trying to reveal to all of us that our hope is only in Him, not within yourself. I want you, if you don't mind, to you ever think about this? There's scriptures that talk about overcomers, 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 okay? An overcomer is not somebody who finds out a way to defeat sin or try to be better in his flesh. It's somebody who realizes he's been divorced from his flesh and the law of sin and death. An overcomer is one who has been overcome. You've been taken up and you've been brought over and you've come to where God wants you to be. Everybody seeing that? An overcomer is not based on the fact that you finally figured out how to do all the fruit of the Spirit and you're holy within yourself. No, an overcomer is one who's been divorced from that stinking thinking. And you now just say, you know what, I'm a living spirit. And it's Christ who is alive in me. That changes your perspective. Did you know it's going to change how you react to people? It's going to change how you react to people. You're going to be like the Apostle Paul now saying, you know what? If I have to go to hell and live with the devil so all my friends can experience the love of God, it's worth it. Because you know what? Paul walked in it every day. He knew how fun it was to be a Christian. He found joy in prison because he was so excited in the fact that he found liberty and freedom in this old physical body. When trouble came to Paul, Paul didn't see trouble come to Paul. Paul saw a spirit that could rise above trouble because Paul called himself an overcomer in Christ Jesus, right? We're more than conquerors in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. After hearing what we've talked about so far, when you think about God looking at you right now, does it make you feel any better? I hope so. When I think of what I think about me, I think God's angry. But I remember that I am seated in Christ next to God right now. And the right side of a king is a place where you are full of glory. It's the position and the representation of being full of glory. We are right now in the Spirit, full of God's goodness or His glory. That's the mindset. When God sees you, He sees you full of His glory. Now, y'all think, no, He sees me full of my muck and my junk. No, He does not. He sees you when you walk in the Spirit. What's walking in the Spirit? It's when I realize that my identity is of what God sees is nothing but good things. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So when I'm walking every day, if my mind is on who I am in Christ and I'm thinking of that new identity I have and that Christ took care of all that, He divorced me from all the junk, from the sin, from all the bad thoughts that I have about myself, even though those things may still be evident as you're getting victory in your life, I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again today. And the reason I want to is because I want to show you how powerful this is. People struggle with something. In your human body and in your natural state, you struggle with something. Now, some of y'all don't struggle with none of the biggies. You don't think. Okay? My mom's not here this morning. She's going to be here next week. But my mom always says, well, I've never done that. I've never done that. I've never done that. When we talk about certain people and the issues that we struggle with, I'll say, Mom, you never struggle with lust of flesh? Never. Alcohol? Nope, never. Drugs? Nope, never. Overeating? Not anymore. But you know what? When I mention unforgiveness, the car stops. We've all got something. You know why I'm excited today? Because even in my muck and in my something, I can be like the Apostle Paul, who also had some muck in his life. He had a thorn in his flesh, folks, he didn't like. But he found victory and joy through it. Do you know how? By focusing on his identity, which is the what? The spirit of life that Christ gave him. And so he focused on his new life-giving Savior, and he walked in it every day. And when people says, hey, Paul, you're ugly, Paul would walk by and go, hey, Holy Spirit, did you hear what he just said about you? Serious. He was so spirit-minded. Paul didn't get offended. Paul just rejoiced where we would be angry. Can you imagine being put in jail for proclaiming how good God is? You'd want your reward that we talked about earlier. Lord, I did what you said. You said I'm going to get a reward. Now, where's my reward, prison? Because the reward was not what you're supposed to be focused on. Paul was excited that he led a jailer and his family to the kingdom. Paul would never have been that excited if he did not understand how to walk after the Spirit, because if you walk after the Spirit, then God sees the fruit of himself in you. Remember, church, he transformed you. He changed you into a new creation. That's why old things will pass away. And behold, all things will become new. I want to close with Proverbs chapter 13. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is not what we do, but it's who we are in Christ. Woo-hoo! All right, here we go. Proverbs chapter 13. We always use Proverbs as like little fortune cookie sayings. But I would love to do a study on Proverbs, because it's not true at all. It's not just knowledge and little excerpts of somebody trying to tell you how to apply these things to your life and instructions so you'll be a better person. That's not what Proverbs is about. May do a Wednesday night series soon. I'll announce it. Proverbs 13, if you would, go to verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Y'all see that? When hope has no hope, it makes your heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. All right, let's go back. You ready? Hope here means something that you hope for. What do you hope for as a new covenant believer? One, you don't go to hell. You hope that Christ really did what he said he did for you. But let's say you're past that and you really are walking like the Apostle Paul. And man, you're just walking in the Spirit, and you know God sees nothing but love, kindness, gentleness, peace, hope, all in you, okay? That's what he sees. It's that kind of hope. But if that hope is deferred because of unbelief, it will make your heart sick. Listen, I'm speaking my testimony. It will make your heart sick. Do you know why they chose heart and not your body? Because your heart is the core and the center of who you are. The heart is like the foundation of a building. Your heart is who you are. That's why you get your heart broke, you get hurt. They always say, I'm heartbroken. Doesn't mean your heart broken too, but your foundation has been rumbled. We've all been there. We've all gone through that muck. Hope deferred, hope that has no hope, makes your heart sick. But watch this. But when the desire, what's the desire? The desire is what you really hope for. When you get what you hope for, comes, when it comes, it is a tree of life. I want to encourage you today and let you know that Christ did exactly what he said he did at the cross. And he put a new life in you. You are no longer the old man, you are a new man. So you have a new identity, therefore walk in it, and as you walk after it, because you are now a spirit, so I'm walking now as a spirit, not as a person in the flesh, my mind is thinking now, all God sees is the fruit of my new spirit. And if I see that God sees the, my fruit of my new spirit, my attitude changes on how I witness and tell people about God. It's no longer me leaving going, hey, you better watch out now. If you keep doing that, God's going to get mad at you. That don't even cross your mind as a new covenant believer. What you do is you say, hey, man, did you know that Jesus came to divorce you from what you're struggling with? Amen. Jesus came to deliver you, divorce you from. He came to make you an overcomer, that you're going to go up and over and you're coming to where he wants you to be. That's what Paul taught. The only time Paul ever got brash was to the believers who had been converted and wanted to go dance with Moses again. Ticked Paul off because he thought, you guys are babes in Christ. Come on, now let's get some meat and stop drinking the milk. You today as a new covenant believer, y'all been in this message 9 years. Y'all realize, well, longer than that if you've been in Leroy's Sunday School class. I've been pastor here almost 9 years, and in that time frame, I've taught nothing but grace. Before that, Leroy taught 3 years before I did because I didn't even learn it till 2 years in after he was teaching it. In 9 years of grace, look how far you've come, but yet look at the simplicity of the gospel that we thought fruit of the Spirit were things that needed to come forth by our behavior and actions. Instead, it's just the fruit that God sees when you're walking in your new identity. That ought to make you shout today. So look here, when your hope has been deferred and your heart's sick, just know there's hope because we are now in the tree of life. You realize in the garden, the tree of life was Christ. It was the life-giving last Adam. Praise God. That's all I have. I hope you're not disappointed today because I'm excited. That's a word. That's encouraging. That gives hope to us all. I pray you leave here today, and I pray that you walk out of here, and I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what your issue is. It does not matter. The key is this. Do you look at the fruit of your flesh more than the fruit of the Spirit? Because God doesn't. God doesn't. I want to encourage you today to leave here walking in your new identity, claiming who you are in Christ, and get excited that you can find joy even in prison. Let's stand. Father, thank you for showing us today that the fruit of the Spirit is what you see in us. You're looking for the fruit of you evident in our life. And Lord, it only comes when we believe that you have given us a new spirit and a new identity. Has nothing and will never have anything to do with something we have accomplished or done or achieved within ourselves. Father, thank you that through grace you are showing us more and more, scripture by scripture, that you came with one purpose in mind, as the Apostle Paul said, was that he could win his friends for the kingdom, so they could know how much you love them. Lord, all these people here this morning, each person knows one person in their life who either denounces you or thinks that you are a God who judges and is mean, or thinks of you as being misrepresented by religion, And Lord, we have an opportunity to go out like the Apostle Paul with a spirit and a mindset that, hey, I have a spirit of life in Christ Jesus in me. That it's not Barry witnessing, it's the Spirit of God witnessing. And Lord, what fuels me is that I'm encouraged and I can walk confidently because I know that every time you look at me, Jesus is interceding at your right hand, reminding you that I am full of your goodness. I'm full of your glory. And Lord, that even makes us more confident to walk in the Spirit. Father, may this word change a life, help somebody today, and most of all, may each one of us be conscientious to those around us who don't know you, who are bound by the law of sin and death. May we show them and reveal to them through Scripture that you came to divorce them from that, to separate them from that, and to place them in a new position, which is in you. And I give you praise. Now, God, I ask that you just bless this word. May the word penetrate the heart. May faith be encouraged today. May grace do nothing but continue to resound what was said today to remind us all how special we are in your sight to those who have claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are a living spirit on earth who reflects the fruit of who God is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.